You are listening to the Kelly Confidential Podcast with Kelly Wilkes. This is episode 33. Welcome to the Kelly Confidential Show, where we talk negotiation essentials and those crucial conversations empowering extraordinary women. Real women, real issues. Let's jump in. Hi, welcome back, everybody. Thanks for being here. For my show today, we're talking about self-doubt, imposter syndrome specifically. And I'm taking inspiration from two sources, one from the remarkable Jean Atkinson, award-winning sportswoman and fundraiser, who was recently on my show, and also an experience from my own life. Let's start with Gina. In my latest interview with her, she was sharing the highs and lows of her 300-mile solo trek across the Scottish Highlands. And she surprised me when she mentioned how self-doubt crept in when she was approaching the 100-mile kayaking leg of her trek. Now, most people won't know this about her, but Gina is a superb sportswoman and is a former Team GB medal winner in the European dragon boat races, among many other rowing events she's won. So what happened? Why the self-doubt? She told me she'd been chatting with people on the shores while she was getting her kayak ready to set off, and they expressed some concerns for her safety mainly, and asked whether what she was about to do was a good idea because she was traveling with a heavy backpack, which housed her food and tent, and so it was big. And she was about to get into a one-person boat and set off in increasingly poor weather conditions, very low temperatures, persistent rain, and so on. I mean, if you saw her YouTube videos of that leg, one video is taken while she's on the water and it's absolutely pouring. So yeah, the conditions were not good. And this normally focused ex-military athlete took pause at their comments. And that seed of doubt germinated and stayed with her momentarily, but long enough that she also started to wonder if this was a good idea. She was on a huge body of water in the middle of nowhere, miles from civilization. So if she tipped and went in, hypothermia would set in quickly. And I mean, the rest is scary to think about. But Gina also knew she was armed with years of physical fitness and countless hours of competition level training on the water. And yet still it played on her mind during that leg of the trek, so much so that she reached out to a friend on text later that night to share these thoughts. And her friend simply said, "Do they know who you are?" Meaning, do they know the extent of physical fitness and rowing accomplishments she had under her belt? And that was all Gina really needed to hear. Hey, yeah, she thought, I did that. To remember what she'd done and what she was capable of. And it really realigned her focus, which she needed because she also shared with me the valuable and absolutely true insights that when we allow the self-doubt to stay, to creep in, it creates anxiety. And that in turn creates space for mistakes. In business, folks sometimes say it's okay to make mistakes. But when your business requires precision, because you're in the military or performing a demanding physical challenge, mistakes can be a problem. They can be dangerous. So it was vital that Gina's head was back in the game. And it was her own wise counsel that led her to reach out to a friend for a chat during that leg of her trek. And it paid off. Now, in my case, my self-doubt comes from charting unknown territory. As a corporate animal, we are taught to embrace structure, toe the line, stay in your lane. Conformity means safety, i.e. if we play by the rules, everything will work out well in life. You know, you work hard, you're promoted, you move up in the company, and repeat. And it's true, right? There's a clear blueprint for working in a corporate environment. And for the most part, people follow that blueprint because it feels safe and comfortable. And it pays dividends. And really, people are creatures of habit and routine. This is why chain restaurants located in or near airports and busy tourist attractions make such a killing because people find comfort in things they know that are predictable or expected. Think McDonald's and Starbucks and how often you see those in those types of places. It's not an accident. Because it's true, for better or worse, that type of routine, that predictable engagement makes people feel grounded. And this is true also in corporate. There's a particular blueprint for doing well in corporate, and at the center of that is routine and rule following. Now, I'm a naturally curious person. I love learning. And I always said that if I won the lottery tomorrow, I would happily spend the rest of my life as a full-time student. No, not kidding. Of course, I'd invest in my business. I would, of course, keep that running because I also love what I do. I love teaching. But I definitely go back to college and keep studying. And it's that keen interest to understand more, to push further, that has prompted me to take certain risks in life, mostly measured risks. Okay, some harebrained risks, and most of them have paid off. So when I decided to create a podcast, it didn't feel like a risk. I was just too excited. I had so much I wanted to share and to discuss. Truly, when I made the decision, it was like a light switch flicking on. It was full throttle ahead, and I have loved it the whole way through. Thanks to all of you, it's growing week on week in followers, which really delights me to know that I'm helping people. Then every now and then, life kind of catches up with you. And it was only recently when I was speaking with a friend who said to me, you know, the work you're doing, your messaging that you're putting out, she said, you're kind of out there on your own. Which she meant in a positive way, meaning I'm sort of trailblazing, I guess. But to me, I was like, huh, I am out there on my own. I mean, there are many, many self-help shows about growing your business, marketing and sales and so forth. But I realized there's really nobody else out here doing what I'm doing, or certainly none that I've yet heard of. No others schlepping their negotiation tactics to help women level up the playing field. And yeah, I have to admit it rattled me a bit because if I thought about it for too long, really the self-doubt crept in. Why? Well, because I wondered, how did I get there? And the pressure of knowing what I'm carrying, how people may be relying on me, and it makes you question if you're good enough. So I could totally relate to Gina's moment on the water. Different scenarios, but still created that seed of doubt and it germinated. And that's not my only encounter with self-doubt. I've had loads of it. But I think that's a good recent example. So in our show today, we're talking about imposter syndrome, why this occurs predominantly with women, and why self-awareness is critical to save your deal-making. Are you ready? Let's jump in. Most people suffer from self-doubt at some point in life. This usually happens when we're trying something new, or perhaps when we're ignoring our own advice and doing something contrary to how we would normally do it. Or maybe those irritating voices are there because we're fatigued, maybe carrying some extra mental burdens, and our normal focus isn't playing ball. And I've given you some real life examples of these in the opener. The most disruptive of these types of doubt is the one people call imposter syndrome, which I personally feel is an often ill-used or a throwaway label for a condition that can be quite complex and debilitating. So it's important to understand what it means and what people mean when they say it. So let's start there. Imposter syndrome is a feeling of fraudulence or self-doubt in one's abilities, despite evidence of success. Perhaps the most obvious example is if you think about being at a costume party And you might normally be the wallflower. You're perhaps a bit shy and not normally the life of the party. But this time you've shown up dressed as a badass superwoman, complete with cape and amazing superpowers. And everyone loves your outfit. People are flocking to you to say so. They're telling you. But every time someone compliments your costume, despite all the time you spent putting it together, you feel like a fake because deep down, you think you're just an ordinary person or maybe too shy or too this or too that. So the compliments don't stick, even though you may have spent hours engineering that glorious costume. The praise doesn't stick because you just don't believe it. That's what imposter syndrome feels like. You feel like a phony. It's like you're wearing a disguise and waiting for someone to find out that you're not who you're pretending to be. The irony is that everyone else at the party sees you as a confident and capable superhero. But inside, you're convinced you're an imposter. It's a psychological phenomena that affects many, many people, regardless of their background or achievements. So you're not alone. It happens to a lot of us. And in fact, this feeling is especially true for novice negotiators and women, especially in any profession, including many successful and highly accomplished celebrity women who have likewise experienced imposter syndrome at some point. Celebrities like Emma Watson, Tina Fey, Lady Gaga have all been quoted for saying things like feeling like a fraud, or even distinctly saying that they struggle with imposter syndrome. And then from her study in which the term imposter syndrome phenomena was first coined, Dr. Pauline Clance states in her 5-year study, the term imposter syndrome is used to designate an internal experience of intellectual phonies, which appears to be particularly prevalent and intense among high-achieving women. It is not a medical condition. It's a psychological one, which is theorized to be caused through learned experience. In Dr. Clance's study done over a long period of time amongst 150 professional women, they found that the syndrome could be attributed to a couple of key factors in different proportions, but mainly these two key factors. And these being early family dynamics, especially where siblings existed, so not an only child household, but where there were siblings and where certain positive attributes were lauded on one child over the other. And then in societal conditioning, where different expectations were placed on girls and young women, specifically to a diminished level versus male role models. When they looked at the cross-section of men versus women, they reported that their clinical experience showed the phenomena occurs much less frequency in men, and that when it does occur, it is with much less intensity. Fast forward 45 years, and in a similar 2023 study completed by KPMG and covered by Forbes, contributing writer Luciana Polis shares that the phenomena is still prevalent among senior women leaders. Some 75% of respondents, in fact, who reported as struggling with imposter syndrome. The study asserts women are held into this position by the following contributing factors: the lack of a role model and representation in their field. And I'm keen to know what other women listening, women in STEM, think about this. I know I was quite alone doing my degree program. I was one of only 4 women in my degree program. So I'm interested to hear how that lack of representation may have affected others. Anyway, so that was one of the contributing factors. The other factors include sexist and racist remarks and microaggressions. The next one was not having a supportive manager or someone to champion them at work. And the last one was not being rewarded fairly for performing the same role. Something I speak at length about, and you can get the latest stats on compensation in my April newsletter on numeracy. The link is in the show notes. But yeah, not being rewarded fairly performing the same work. And both studies found that the condition creates a vicious self-fulfilling prophecy in that despite having achieved academically or professionally, women who suffer with imposter syndrome find it difficult to believe in or feel comfortable with who they are. So in turn, they work longer hours to try to prove themselves, will struggle to ask for help, and they suffer burnout more frequently. And their goals tend to get bigger because they need to hit an even higher target in order to feel worthy. Once they do, and the praise passes, the limiting self-belief returns, and the cycle repeats. Does this sound familiar? Does it sound like you? I know I've been there. It's exhausting, isn't it? You're working so hard, and even when you hit that high, high bar, you still feel inadequate. You are definitely not alone, trust me. But what happens if you suffer from imposter syndrome and you need to negotiate? And in a negotiation, this can be crippling. Why? Because spending all of that energy to hide your perceived imposter is exhausting, and you will struggle to get the results you need, whether that's for a multi-million dollar corporate deal or maybe a new lease property for your first business, or maybe the financial settlement in a divorce. Why? Well, again, as I shared in episode 15 last year, you can fake it in a negotiation for only so long. The pressure will push through and the cracks will widen and your body will simply reject your attempts to hide your discomfort. The amygdala hijack will prevail. And you can check out that episode. Yeah, that was episode 15 from last year, and I'll include the link in the show notes. Really important episode if you want to understand more about what pressure does to the body. So if you're a professional negotiator or building a startup, or you have some high stakes deal making coming up, you do not want this monkey on your back derailing all of your hard work. So how do you deal with it? Keep listening. I'm about to tell you. Right. Thanks for sticking with us. This is such an important topic, one that I feel very personally connected to, because so many of you are struggling with this and yet may still be denying it to yourselves. Self-doubt, imposter syndrome, two leaves from the same tree. And it will only hold you back the longer you ignore it. Take comfort in knowing you're not alone. You're definitely not. That KPMG study found that 75% of senior women leaders had and were trying to deal with imposter syndrome, despite all of their tremendous achievements. So how do you deal with this? Well, here are my four go-tos, tried and tested. I wouldn't give you advice that I wouldn't take myself. And here they are. Number one, self-awareness. I spoke at length in my first ever episode about the importance of recognizing your personal stuff. I call it your personal stuff, such as where you are in the hierarchy of needs, being aware of all the things that may trigger you, your relationships, and then making a plan to deal with it. Really important. Number two, therapy. It's no coincidence that this follows point one. We all need therapy at some point. It's like getting your MOT car maintenance, but for your mental health. Critical that you invest in your mental health. And just like maintaining your car, if you look after it, it won't need a lot of maintenance. Just the odd checkup here and there. But a therapist could definitely help you with the cycle of imposter syndrome and tools for managing it. Number three, get a mentor, business coach, or some other advocate to champion for you. This is again so important, and this was mentioned in the KPMG study, the need to have somebody in your corner. And if you can't yet afford a business coach, seek out someone senior to you whom you trust and ask them if they will mentor you for a couple of months. This will require that you have 2 to 3 goals in mind that will need their support in achieving. Of course, tackling your imposter syndrome should be on that list. And then hopefully at some point you can graduate to a business coach. But definitely start there. Mentors are invaluable and I mean, I've maintained a wonderful friendship with one of my mentors, you know, 2 decades later. So definitely do that for yourself. And then finally, number 4. And okay, so this is slightly controversial, but definitely effective. And yeah, here it is. I want you to stop giving a shit about what others think. Or in the eloquent words of the wise Silicon Valley entrepreneur, author, and incomparable Guy Kawasaki, who recently said in a podcast, yes, stop giving a shit what others think. Don't sweat the embarrassments. If you get tongue-tied in a presentation, guess what? You're human. Take a breath and keep going. Don't worry what people think because they simply don't care. They don't care enough. And if they do, you're really only a passing thought. And then they're thinking about something else, probably their lunch. And these closing words from Guy stood out the most to me, which were, we are all but a small speck in the universe. We're really not that important. It's okay. You're doing the best you can and you're smashing it. So keep going. So stop putting so much pressure on yourselves. I want you to take stock of measurable deliverables, those things that you can actually plot, and check in with someone you know and trust, ideally not your partner because they may struggle with the pressure to tell you the home truths, but someone, as I mentioned, like a mentor or a business coach, to make sure that the work you're taking on is realistic. Because those of us who do struggle with imposter syndrome absolutely struggle with overachievement issues, just as Dr. Klantz described. So we're not the best judge on our own to determine if it's too much. You have to get the balance right. And of course, if you're setting up your first business, you're unlikely to have loads of resource helping you in that startup phase. So you're going to be working harder and more hours than ever before. But that can't be the norm forever because it's just simply not sustainable. So take what your mentor or coach thinks is a reasonable workload for what you need to achieve and add a buffer of 10 to 20% on top of that, tops. So let's say if it's a 50-hour work week, you've agreed, you need to agree that you'll do no more than another 5 or so hours on top of that as your upper bar. And then stick to that under an agreement with your mentor and ask them to keep you accountable to it. The most important thing here is to acknowledge what's happening, to recognize this phenomena of imposter syndrome and that it's common among ambitious women, that you're not alone, and that your mental health and personal happiness are worth more than all of the work you're doing. So take the steps I've outlined to work through it in order that you and your business can continue to grow and succeed. That's all from me today. If you like my show and found this episode useful, please give us a like and follow us for more great content. Until next time.